oh, that looks so good. Like the deadlift looks great with the fire. Jaren, you could lift stones if we set you on fire? And I've just turned around and gone, huh?
Well, what do you mean? We took a vote. Yes, it's going to happen.
Yeah, there was more people voting for me to do it. And I was sitting there going, no, what are you? Like, oh, we can see that you had fire down your back and you're running down lifting the stones. I'm like, in what world are we doing this?
Hey folks, there's a wonderful event happening next year over the June long weekend. From June 7th to 9th, the Bali AFL Masters is taking place and the SA team will have men's sides in the over 35s, over 45s and over 55s. If you want to join in the fun, check out the Southern Slugs Football Club Facebook page. Well, what an absolute pleasure it is to have Jordan Biggie Steffens and also Brooke Pritchard on Sports Legends with Devo today.
Mate, thank you very much for having
us. Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure to be with you again. It's been a little while and I think first time for Brooke here.
Yeah, so. Excited.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you're a bit of a veteran of the show now. I think you've got gold class
tickets to Bevo's. No, look, it was funny. I actually, Steph Davies was here recently and I caught up with her and that was one of the original ones we had. I think you and me did one together.
Yeah,
and
spot
Steph
on.
Steph came on with us, I think, with Commonwealth Games around that period. So that, we're talking... Oh, that's 2016.
I think I had a bit more hair back then as well.
I think I've aged terribly.
Probably less grays than
you. More grays, that's for sure. So, no, it's good to be back, mate. Thank you so much.
And recently you guys were both involved at the Uradler show. Brooke, you did an apple lift, which looked quite unbelievable. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, as you do. So I worked with Shrovelo's Orchards, which they're locally based in Uradler. And, they managed to knock together this really, really impressive lift where we had baskets on either side. We used all their local produce of apples. And, we got it up to about 200 kilos, got the kids involved. And it was an awesome day out.
And how was the actual lift itself? That must have been pretty hard to do. So
it had elements of difficulty to it. I don't want to sound cocky or anything, but it was just another training day for me.
What do you say to that?
Exactly. We'll get to you guys in a minute because obviously Big is your coach, but Big, you actually did something pretty special on that day as well. You lifted a big stone that's quite sentimental to you. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, look, I guess for myself now coming into retirement of the sport and competitive and that type of stuff, it's obviously working with athletes like Brooke and the next generation of people coming through. And one of the big things I like to do and still do these days is do the throwback to the past and the people who came before us, because I consider myself very lucky to work, like yourself, work with legends, work with giants in the sport. And Ben Madden, who was the guy that took, he wasn't the first strongman in South Australia, but he was the first sort of name to step out of that sort of old style and go to the crowds and go to people and be that, professional strongman, paid to be seen. So Ben sort of took the sport from a small thing to the people, to the masses. Ben was known for having probably one of the best grips in the world. He did a walk, which was 110 kilos in each hand, so 220 kilos he picked up, walked 110 meters with turns every 25 meters. Now, people are going to sit there and go, well, it doesn't sound that heavy. That's massively heavy for that far. One of my young guys tried it the other day, very fit, very strong young man. He carried it 30 meters. And trust me, he's very fit and very strong boy. So he's done that well over twice the distance. And I actually found out from Ben shortly after a training session leading into this 110 by 110 that he did, he actually did 120 kilos for 100 meters.
Oh, my goodness.
So Ben had one of the most world-class grips in the world. So we wanted to show our respect and pay homage to a legend of strongman in not just South Australia, but Australia. So we made these stones called the Madden Stones. So in Scotland, they have the Dinny Stones, which are two stones you have to pick up and either hold or carry. So we wanted to make the Madden Stones in South Australia. So they've been released on the weekend. They will live at the Uradler Hotel and people can go there, sign a waiver before doing it. They can go there and have a lift. Girls, guys, anyone. Yeah. Like, it's open to anyone to have a go. What you do is you go up, you join, you speak to the staff, you sign a waiver and you pick up the stones. You hold it for as long as possible. They take your time and then obviously you document it after and it'll be documented and sent to Scotland. So your results will be around the world table. And they were made by Adelaide Hill Sandstone. Neil, absolute gentleman, just a lovely guy who wants to try and do anything to help everyone.
Yeah. That's the hills for you, isn't it? Just great people everywhere.
So, you present an idea to them and then they go, oh, we love it, let's do it.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm going to pass this one over to Brooke in a second. Is that he made these wonderful stones and we can't thank him enough. Adelaide Hill Sandstone is just lovely. Cliff, his second, made the handles, which are just amazing. He blacksmithed them for us. Ira Adler, who have now custodians of the stones. So many great people coming together. Ben, you know, those guys. But they actually, Adelaide Hill Sandstone made a set of, I'll let Brooke tell this one, but they made something really cool for Brooke earlier this year.
Yeah, earlier this year. So at the winter solstice, which was at the Uradler Hotel, we did a deadlift with sandstone rocks on either end. So we called it the Flintstone deadlift, which was just amazing in itself. So, but we actually lit it on fire. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, we presented that idea to them, and once again, it was well received. And it was like, okay, what can we do? How can we do it? And yeah, pulled it off. So
it actually went to the next extent, Bebo. We had the Royal Show shortly after, and we were sitting there in a meeting, and Neil sat there, and he's just going, "Oh, that looks so good. Like the deadlift looks great with the fire there. Do you reckon you could lift stones if we set you on fire?" And I've just turned around and gone, "Huh? Well, what do you mean?"
We took a vote. Yes, it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, there was more people voting for me to do it. And I was sitting there going, "No, don't worry." And they're like, "Oh, we can see you. You know, you had fire down your back and you're running down lifting the stones." I'm like, "In what world are we doing this?" But that's just what these guys are like. And working with yourself very much like that as well, Bevo. So open to helping so many people and working with people. It's just a great opportunity for us, you know, to be here, but to also to work with these great groups. You know, we consider ourselves very lucky.
Yeah.
And we'll get to your trampoline in a moment. But Biggie, only a couple of months ago, back in September, you broke a Guinness World Record. So congratulations, mate,
on
that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, round of applause.
Thank you very much.
Tell us more about this lift and what was involved in training for such a lift.
Yeah, look, I been very lucky over the years to work with Guinness World Records, breaking world records with them, the train pole, the circus record for the three high, and we'd been in touch with a local group called Load 28 Crane Company from Port Adelaide. They work closely with the Starlight Foundation. They have this really cool crane called Barney, big purple, cool thing like Barney the Dinosaur. Just a lovely group of people, you know, that work hard but want to support so many people. So we'd been in contact with them about doing some sort of crane pull. And I said, well, how about we do a world record? Like, okay. And I said, well, how about we do the Royal Show? All right. So we're like, bang, let's do it. So what we've done is we've prepped in to do the world record, and we did it on the down low sneaky. We did it about 2 weeks before the Royal Show started because we needed a flat area. So there's only one spot in the showground we could do it. So we did the world record 2 weeks before the show in secret. And then on the show Thursday, I pulled Barney inside, which was just a ton of fun. It was hammering rain.
So the weather was terrible.
And had a huge headwind. It was exactly the same as when I pulled the plane.
Oh, no.
Exactly the same.
What is it with you?
I was locked around my life, hugely difficult. So we did that. Two of my athletes came down, one dressed up as Barney the Dinosaur, one dressed up as Starry, Jake and Reese. They just dressed up and were a part of it. They made that. Seriously, they made that event. They were just so awesome. And, you know, the people from Starlight Foundation were there and they were so happy. We almost, I think we made $49,000 in a few weeks. It was just unreal. We worked with CMFEU, the construction union. We did a pull down at their work site in the middle of the city. And, you know, all the lads came down. We had all these, mate, we had guys in the crowd that were about as big as the building itself, mate. I have no clue why they weren't pulling. They weren't pulling. One of the boys came to me after and goes, that was really cool. And I'm like, man, you eat the truck, seriously. You know, like, it was just lovely to have so much support from the unions and all the groups. And it's just amazing how many people come together for such a good cause to help kids. You know, Starlight Foundation is helping kids that don't deserve to be sick or unwell. They've barely lived their life. They don't deserve that, you know. Mm-hmm. And they're already being supported by so many wonderful people. And Low 28, Marcus, his family, the whole crew were just so amazing to help or let me pull their equipment to set that world record and then, of course, move on to the Royal Show and then top it off with almost $50,000 and the Starlight Foundation. Hopefully we can do a lot more in the future and aiming to have Brooke do a lot of work with them as well. Maybe get her dressed up in a Starry outfit and she can pull the truck in the Starry outfit. I reckon that'd be pretty cool. Or Barney the Dinosaur, maybe.
Barney might be easier. Anyway.
So, yeah, no, the show was great, mate. I just, like I said, so happy to be a part of it. And trust me, next year's going to be even bigger. We had the Highland Games there this year as well. Brooke competed in that with a whole of the best Highland Games athletes in Australia. So, yeah, it's just getting bigger and bigger. I think, like I said, next year we might need Bevo as an MC, maybe.
Oh, hey.
Maybe I could
MC lift, Bevo?
Lift something, maybe a deadlift or
there
something.
There we like go. That, so. Get you tossing the cable or something like that, all right?
I can get you some little baby weights. How does that sound?
Oh, we'll set them on fire. We'll get a little cigarette lighter.
Yeah. I can bench 100 kilos. That's nothing compared to you guys, though.
Man, so. That's nothing. Maybe knock off half my
that's
guys
not a
already.
Small feet, yeah.
But I've been doing it for quite a while. But hey, it's back to you guys anyway. So, hey, tell us about the thrill as well. And we'll get to you in a moment, Brooke, about your trampoline last year. But what it's like, though, when you're there, and because you're a bit of a fan favourite now, Big, you're both of you guys are, but you had, you know, you're on Channel 9, you're on the cheap seats, so you've been paying attention.
Slow news week, wasn't it, Bevo? Absolutely slow.
You must be loving all this attention.
Slow
and, what's
week.
It like, though, when the crowd's really behind you and, you know, that must make you feel pretty special. Does it give you that extra energy and that extra push to be able to do the lift too?
It does. I try and make it very showy now. And it was a part of probably what made me the athlete I was when I was competing, was feeding off the crowd. My best results were never in training. They were always in competition. A lot of guys can do big lifts in training and can't do it in comp because they get nervous or they just can't. And that was the polar opposite for me. It was the other way around. I just feed it off that. And, you know, I look at it from multiple different perspectives, Bevo. One, the perspective I see is people are paying to come and see you. They're paying to watch you do something. So you need to give them what they paid for. Yeah. You know, you don't see, you know, Katy Perry or someone like that go out there and put on a
sitting
crap
on a
show.
Chair and just, you know,
yeah,
have
just
a bit
sitting
of a
there,
scene, you know.
And they go out and they give everything to people that are helping
meat
them.
Meatloaf too.
Yeah, well,
I think the edible version is probably the best version of it, you know what I'm saying?
So not always.
Yeah. No, I think it's just, you know, that mindset of, you know, giving back to the people. Like, if I was out there just doing a deadlift or a squat in front of no one, then nothing's actually happening. If the crowd's there, something's happening. Yeah, you know, there's a show to be had. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be anything. Yeah. So, you know, having the opportunities to be on television, to be on the cheap seats, to just have fun and take the sport from, again, where Ben moved it to and hopefully take it to that next level. And then also in that is, for me, is trying to pass that on to the next generation of guys as well, and especially the next generation of females. And for myself, having Brooke with me gives you that perspective between the two, because it's all well and good seeing me do something, because I've been doing this for 20 years, you know, and lots of people have seen me do shows. Like, I've done shows for years. So a lot of people have seen it. But at the same time, they haven't seen a Brooke, or they haven't seen some of the female girls do their thing, which is unreal in its own right. And just people are drawn to that as well. And it's a high, like an AFL grand final. I can only imagine standing out in front of 100,000 people. You know, I did Bundanoon, which was 20,000 people in the stadium.
Yeah.
And I was in the middle of the field and the crowd goes silent just before they say go. And it's eerie, 20,000 people quiet and you're at the start line.
Watching you.
Everyone's watching you for that 30-second run of stones. And, you know, and you load, because you hear go when it's set. Go and you bolt off the line and you can't hear anything because you're so focused and you load the last one on, and then all of a sudden everything comes back and you're like, oh my God, there's just so much noise on top of you. So I can only imagine, like, the cricket that's on now in India, where they have 130,000 Indian supporters going nuts, or AFL or anything like that, where you have that huge high. And what a moment it is for an athlete to be a part of that. Gold medals, when you stand on the podium and hear your music being played. What a high and what a moment to remember and live on. So having those moments is amazing, because, you know, they're very fleeting and very quick. Like I said, Bundanoon, when I did the stones, that's 30 seconds. You're done in 30 seconds. It's all over and done with. 6 months, a year, 10 years of work. It's over very quickly.
Yeah,
you know?
It's amazing, so, isn't it?
It's a great high and I love it. But like I said, it's now for me, hopefully, to keep that rolling in for myself, but also to bring the next generation in. And like I said, with Brooke with her trample earlier this year, the amount of social media and the amount of media presence she had with that was just ridiculous.
Yeah, and obviously being new to the sport as well, Brooke, and congratulations on that trample. Amazing achievement. What was it like doing the trample, you know, and how'd you go? As obviously you managed to do it, but was a lot harder than what you were expecting. And again, did that sort of, that crowd getting behind you really give you that energy to be able to do it?
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. Especially when you see all the young kids in the crowd as well. Like, I think that for me just did it. But going into something like that, we hadn't tested it. So, you know, we've put the harness on, we've attached, you know, it all to the tram. We're going, I hope this works. We've got all these people around, you know, we've done radio interviews and all that sort of stuff beforehand, and sort of just hope that all your training and preparation has got you set up for it. But everything went well. We pulled it. We actually ended up pulling two trams because one moved so well and the crowd wanted it. So yeah, it was an amazing event. So
congratulations.
Thank you.
And what's it like having the big fellow as your coach as well? It must be pretty good, pretty inspiring.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I have the privilege of seeing Jordan, you know, train and all that sort of stuff every now and then. And it's awesome having that inspiration. It just makes you want to be better. And I think as well, like, I look at it going, I'm in such a privileged position entering the sport now. You know, female sports is becoming such a big thing, and to be a part of it now is just, it's an amazing experience.
And how'd you first get connected? Tell us about that connection with Biggie.
Well, I can thank my previous coach, Jake. So I was training at another gym and I wanted to pursue powerlifting as more of a, you know, more of a passion for me. And he said, oh, I know the best person. And yeah, it's all sort of transpired from there. So yeah.
And then, was there like an influence as well? Someone that one, you know, really wanted to make you get into it as well?
No. 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 No, for me, it was like, I was looking for a coach and everything just fell into place. So yeah, just how it was. And we've not really looked back. It's been 2 years, I think, now since I first started coaching, like being coached by you. So
yeah, it's one of those things where her previous coach, Jake, had come to me as an Olympic lifter and working with him, and he's told me about this lady named Brooke at another gym. She's a big deadlifter. I said, look, bring her in one day. I'll have a look over her lifts and see if there's anything I can do to help her technically. And
plenty he could do to help me, trust me. You know,
Brooke is just very raw and very strong, just very raw, you know, for someone who hasn't really done the sport professionally or at a high level, just raw. Just, you know, very, very strong, but just not precise and just very new. Like anyone that starts out with lifting, no different to how I started out. And anyone just very, but I guess in Brooke's perspective, just very, very strong. So the strength was already there and the determination and the stubbornness and everything else that comes along with it.
It's just that technique that
needed. You know, it's just time under tension and learning her body structure, learning the way she was going to lift and, you know, doing big shows. And, you know, a part of it's just not just the lifting side, it's also how you handle situations, how you deal with injuries, how you deal with pressure, how you deal with a lot of things. Training, to be honest, Bev, training's the easy part. Walking in the gym and squatting and benching is... anyone can walk into a gym and do a workout. Like, anyone can do that. It's how hard are you willing to push in that workout? How are you willing to deal with the pain of being sore after? Yep. And how willing are you to deal with maybe not winning and coming back next time and being better? And Brooke probably does that almost better than anyone I know. And probably the most determined, focused athlete I've ever had, like the determination and focus when something needs to happen. I don't think I've ever worked with anyone quite like Brooke in that sense.
Okay, we can come on here more often because I don't normally hear this.
You know, so, and guess what? You'll probably never hear it again.
Well, this is your chance to dish the dirt on Biggie. What's he like as a coach?
He'd be very
pushy, I can imagine. Like
he pushes when he needs to push.
Yeah.
So
thanks, Beverly.
No, honestly, he gives his all. So when it comes to coaching, like, I get above and beyond what I expect. So
doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, I appreciate that. It's one of those things where, you know, I was so blessed to have so many good coaches through my career. Like, I've had Olympians as coaches, I've had world champions as coaches, and traveled the world and had the opportunities to work with the best athletes in the world that gave me so much of their time, so much effort, you know, financially, you know, mentally, you know, all I can do is try and give back a fifth of what they gave me to give to Brooke and the others, because hopefully from there, Brooke, when she becomes a coach one day, when she retires, she'll do the exact
pass
same
it down.
Thing. Absolutely. Yeah. To the next generation of young girls and guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just going to spread wider and wider. And again, like I said, I've been so blessed to work with so many good people across so many different facets of life. You know, if you can just pass on that to one person, you know that next person's going to pass on to another one.
Love it. Mm. And when did you first get into it, Biggie? And what was your reason behind the strong person thing?
Well, I got scouted for weightlifting when I was 13, 14 in high school. And I was doing wrestling at Flinders University, amateur wrestling before that. But strength sports started at about 14. And then through that, I got into strongman in my late teens. And then strongman and weightlifting kind of went hand in hand for a few years. And then I sort of got through a bit of my strongman professional career and then made a comeback to weightlifting for Comm Games until I got injured. And then moved away back into strongman again and then basically finished off my career in strongman and basically called it quits in 2018 in Russia. So, you know, it's been a career of multi-sports, you know, like not just doing weightlifting. I did weightlifting, powerlifting, Highland Games, strongman. You know, I even did a CrossFit comp. You know, I did a CrossFit comp. It was terrible and I felt really unwell. But, you know, I think the only comp I haven't done is a bodybuilding one and that's probably never going to happen. But, you know, it's been a multi-sport thing for me because I just loved all the strength sports. And, you know, it was one of those things where starting so young, I had a very, very lucky way to build through in my career starting off young so I could build good form and good technique and good everything. And then got stronger as I went along. So again, I consider myself lucky being scouted by the Institute of Sport at such a young age.
Do you regret not having been to more Olympic Games?
Yeah, look, it's one of those things where I look back on Commonwealth Games and think I should have put more time and effort into it because I probably would have gone, but I got injured. You know, do I have any regrets not pushing more in weightlifting? I wouldn't say I have regrets because I've had a great career and I've been very lucky and, you know, I can look back and be very happy with my career. But it's more now that I look at back and trying to use that to move everything forward. The old saying of if I came into the sport, I left it in a better place than when it started. And I hope one day I can, people can say that about me, is that when they saw Big E, it was this when it started and hopefully he made a difference by the end of it. So yeah, look, in regards to do I wish I made more, I would have loved to have made an Olympics. I obviously didn't make an Olympics, didn't make a Comm Games with injury, but made World Cups and World Junior events when I was a kid. So I was lucky enough to compete for my country many times in weightlifting. But, you know, strongman was what I wanted to do. And that was where my passion was and my love was performing in front of a crowd. And, you know, that was strongman and that's what I wanted to do. So, yeah.
And you've both had, I'm sure, setbacks along the way. But you mentioned before you've had your injuries, and I know you've done your bicep a couple of times, which is amazing considering, you know, how you just come back from that. But Brooke, have you had any setbacks along the way, and have you overcome those?
I've been very lucky. I've had a few niggles along the way. I had a bit of a scare back in January where I tore my TFL, which was pulling a train. But
it was TFL, sorry.
It's just a muscle that's in your hip. So yeah, I was lucky. It was just a grade one tear, so I got over that pretty quickly. But yeah, I think I do a lot of prehab to make sure that I don't get injured. You know, I've got an amazing massage therapist at Hills Recovery Hub in Balhanna. Carmen there takes really good care of me. I've got chiropractors and all that sort of stuff who I see regularly. So yeah, it's a lot about looking after your body to prevent injury. You know, the last thing I want is to have to overcome an injury, you know, in the lead up to Worlds next year.
And we'll get to Worlds in a moment. I'm glad just that you mentioned that. But yeah, in terms of yourself, you're involved with the King of the Circus thing. And you've, like I mentioned, you did a couple of real serious injuries with your bicep. So
ruptured both of
them. I don't know. And yeah, you're still able to compete not long after. How'd you manage to do that, Biggie?
Yeah, look, the first bicep rupture was devastating because I always wanted to go through my career without a surgery, which is very unrealistic. A typical young boy, of course, he thinks he's invincible. But, you know, I tore my first one off and, you know, funnily enough, I did these after retirement. So I was actually retired from the sport. I was just doing demos and stuff. So that one came off, reattached and rebuilt. This one comes off about a year and a half later. And, you know, this one, obviously, I knew what the recovery was going to be because I'd done it before. So I knew what the recovery would be. So I think 12 and a half weeks after surgery, I pulled a 24-ton B-double in Manum. So, you know, it was just understanding the injury, understanding what I could and couldn't do. And just being smart too, like what people don't understand is there are a lot that goes into doing these big super events and how we do things. I've got a friend of mine, Matthew Leslie, who
he is, awesome.
Is just, I wouldn't be anything really, especially when it comes to these big super events, if it wasn't for Matthew. You know, he's an engineer. He works me behind the scenes. So all these big super events, Matthew is on the ground working with the engineers. So with Qantas, he was liaising with the Qantas team. He was doing all the work. So I could just go out, he'd put the harness on me and we'd go. All I had to worry about was pulling it. So, yeah, look, having those injuries and really makes you, one, think about your career, two, think about the people who have helped you get there and what you do, but also being proactive on recovery. And this is probably, as Brooke was saying before, as a coach, I push hard when I need to, but I am very cautious too. Like, I am actually quite a cautious coach and I will hold back.
Very frustrating sometimes.
Yeah, I will hold back knowing that if an injury happens, I know exactly what it's like to sit on the shelf for 6 months and not be able to train and not be able to do something. And if you risk it at a stupid point, it doesn't pay off. Like, I've got no dramas with going out to world championships and just going, let's just go hard. Yeah. And just, if an injury happens, it's going to happen, so be it, you know. But we still think about how we do this to get the best result humanly possible, you know, because there is risk and reward to everything we do. You walk out in the street and get hit by a bus, you know, but hopefully you don't get hit by a bus. But there's risk and reward to everything we do, you know, but it's just the timely risks for the reward, you know. So after I had the two big injuries, that's when I kind of settled down and went, okay, if I'm coaching, I need to coach smartly. I need to make sure I push the athletes when they need to be pushed. And then when they don't need to be pushed, to just get them through and understanding why I'm not pushing them or why we're doing this. So yeah, injuries are not necessarily, they're terrible, but at the same time, they very much keep you grounded on how you are as a person as well. Because, you know, you go through pretty dark points when you've had an injury. I'm sure in sport, you would see that a lot as well, Bevo, when you chat to the footy guys or cricket guys or anyone, when you have a surgery or something like that, you feel like you're by yourself. You feel like you're in a very dark place because you can't do what you love. You know, after my second surgery, I was in the gym 2 days later, squatting, just in a sling and on a safety bar. But also at the same time, that's just a luxury I have too. Yeah. You know, some other people, you blow a knee and they can't. Mm-hmm. You know, I can only imagine what that's like.
Yeah, 100%. Well said. And Brooke, before we finish up next year, you're hoping to go to the World Games. Tell us more about that. And you've got a GoFundMe page as well. You want to give that a plug?
I do. I'm aiming for IPF Worlds next year, which is going to be in Lithuania in June. It's basically where the best of the best powerlifters come together. And so, yeah, I've got states coming up in SA in January, and then it'll be nationals and worlds. So I haven't yet qualified, but I'm very confident. We're currently sitting above all the national records for my weight class, so I'm looking forward to it.
You've got the best man in your corner as well.
Mate, I
honestly will say this without a shadow of a doubt, we'll take it as a very slow build into worlds to qualify for states. Have already been done. We do well at states, which takes you to nationals. You do well at nationals, goes to worlds. And I say this at every demonstration we do when I'm emceeing Brooke, you know, and not to blow smoke up her ass, she is literally the best drug-free powerlifter in this country. There is just no one even close. There's no one even on her level. You know, she's deadlifted 27 kilos more than any other woman in Australian history has done as a drug-free athlete. Wow. Now, like I said, it's one of those things where you can, I've worked with so many great athletes with so much talent across the board, but I feel like Brooke has got that talent and that ability to go to worlds and podium and be up there with the best in the world. As a drug-free athlete, as a mother, as a hard worker, you know, it's just, for me as a coach, it's just actually a joy to sit back and watch, you know. So, I think Worlds is going to be fantastic next year. So hopefully we can keep getting some sponsors on board and keep supporting and try and get some more sponsors for you. And obviously with Bevo, we're going to get you a big sponsor as well, mate. Don't you worry about that. But, you know, like I said, the opportunities to obviously with you supporting Brooke with the show and then hopefully us helping you. It's just, it's great to have the opportunity to do this because, you know, someone like Brooke who works her ass off deserves to go to Worlds.
Couldn't agree with you more. And before we finish up today, guys, how can we follow you both? Tell us about that on the socials.
So Instagram is probably the best way to follow me. So it's Brooke Ace of Spades. That's my show name. Give us a follow.
Love it. And yeah, Jordan_Biggie on Instagram. I've got my coaching one as well, which you can follow off there. So yeah, just keep on there. It's basically the Instagram is the best thing to follow us on. And we do some work with a group called Tartan Muscle as well. So they're another Highland Games group. So always give us a follow on there. You'll see all the Brooke stuff doing Highland Games and a few of the other guys and girls. So
Love it. Yeah,
and we'll send the link through to you so we can get up on your page as well.
Sounds amazing. And then obviously they can go back and watch your your playing pools and all the other things you're pulled in Brooks Tram pool.
Yeah, and all the other stuff that we've got coming up too.
Yeah, really. I was about to say, and the Bevo pool, which is coming out fairly soon as well. So if you're watching this, you know, comment, subscribe, write everything on Bevo's Legends. Going. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Who wants to see Biggie pull Bevo not in that type of way? And that's how you end the show right there, Bevo.
I don't really know how to go. No, to be honest.
Mate, thank you again. Thank you very much for having us on. More importantly, we appreciate being on.
Absolute pleasure. I'm Brooke Pritchard, John Biggie Steffens. Thank you so much. Love both of your work and keep up the great work as well. And all the very best going forward. I think, like Biggie said, Brooke, I reckon you're definitely going to make it to Worlds next year. And
thank you.
We look forward to following you there. And
yeah,
good on you both. Love your work.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Cheers. Thanks so much.